That's a good song. That's an old song. That's a good song. Well, I was thinking, usually singing it when Marcus was little, and we'd have him sing. He sung after me. He'd say, "Marcus, sing it." So I said, "Not today." That's where we get there. Not today. That's all he sang when he wanted to. That's the way we are. We do things when we want to, don't we? All right. Everybody all right this morning? To still be God. And that's just what he does physically. Look what he's done spiritually. Has he saved you this morning? That's the grandest thing that can be done, is that he saved your lost soul. And made you a child, as Jolly sung, a child of the King. Think about that. All right, everybody all right? All right, we got some few thoughts for you this morning. Won't you listen carefully? And it'll be very simple. Very simple, and it's going to be very pointed, because you're going to have to answer yourself some questions, and you don't have to answer them to me, you don't have to answer them to yourself, and the Lord already knows the answer, so you're really not going to have to tell Him nothing. You're going to have to admit some things to yourself, maybe, and then we'll all see the evidence. That's the one thing. We'll all, if we walk closer to the Lord, I ain't going to have to come and ask you, "Are you walking closer today?" Do you know, I'll never have to ask you that, because it'll just show up. You know, if you get saved, I'll never have to ask, "Hey, did you get saved?" I'll never have to ask you that. You'll either have to tell me, or it'll just bubble out some way. Think about that. We all right with that? Think about it. Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come, and Lord, we praise your name for what you've done this week, for the souls that you've saved, for the prayers that you've answered, for the joy that you put in our heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the miracles we get to see all the time. And Lord, we sure do praise you. Now, Lord, we need your help. Lord, I ask you that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive your word. Lord, I ask so often to give me power to preach. And Lord, I ask that again this morning. Give me power to preach your word today for your glory, that I might magnify you and your name. Lord, I pray that we also might have the power of the Holy Spirit to receive the word, that we might understand it. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll give us the power of the Holy Spirit to make the decisions to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And cleanse me, Lord. I know that I'm no good. I know that. Cleanse me, I pray, and use me as you see fit, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's look at a few things this morning, all right? Of course, we know that's our theme, and we're not preaching on that this morning, but that is our theme, keeping our heart fixed in 2026, all right? My heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, all right? Now, we're going to start today with a few questions to get our thoughts on the message, all right? The message ain't got but two little points, is all very small. Two little points, two little thoughts that goes with the idea, but I want you to think about this. We are going to look at several scriptures this morning, but we want you to think about this, all right? Got some questions. Start with this. What area of your life is God wanting to change? Now, you already know, because if you belong to the Lord, He's been talking to you about changing some things. He's been speaking to you about some places in your life, some things in your life. If you're not saved, then I believe with all my heart, if you've been here, God has spoken to your heart already about being saved, and He's wanting to make some changes in your life. I believe everybody in here, God has spoken to us in some way that we know that He's wanting to change some things in our life. What area of your life do you know that you're slipping in? What area in your life do you know that you're slipping in? Or maybe you've already slipped. Well, think about it. You know. You know where you're coming up on the short end of the stick. You already know. I believe with all my heart, you just can't live. If you're saved, you just don't live without God speaking to you in this way, the Holy Spirit convicting you. For the Bible teaches that when He comes, the Holy Spirit comes, that He would reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now that's not just to unsay, that's to convict every man, woman, boy, and girl of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He convicts us through His Word, through the preached Word, through the read Word. The Holy Spirit works in us. In our heart and mind. Yeah. All right. So what area of your life do you know you're slipping in? Or maybe you've already slipped. What area? Now, the reason I ask that is because we know we're not where we were. We're not where we were as a church. So therefore, we're not where we were as a church member or a Christian. So, where are you slipping? Where have you slipped? All right? Everybody got that? What place in your life do you know is not the will of God, yet you find yourself trying to stay there anyhow? What place do you know in your life, you know it's not the will of God? You know it. But you're doing all you can to stay there. You know it ain't right. You know it ain't. We okay? What sin is God trying to get you away from? There's a sin somewhere in all of our lives. In all of our lives, there's sin usually somewhere that we kind of shove off to the side. Sometimes it's major, sometimes just little stuff. What is it He speaks to you about? What is it that He talks to you about? What is it that comes to your mind? Regardless of what's preached, but when the invitation is given, something comes to your mind that, you know, I need to do something with that. That's bothering me. That's when you read, when you pray, what relationship or who is God saying to get away from because they're hurting you and your testimony, they're hurting you and your walk with God, they're hindering you and the way that you should be living for God. Are we listening? What relationship, you know, or who? Think about that. You see, all these things we've just mentioned takes commitment. It takes commitment to own up to where we're short, or own up to what's blocking in her life, own up to the things we need to be doing, but to fix them, to for our heart to be fixed, or for that we have to make commitments. And the thing that's lacking is commitment. Last Sunday night we preached, and I told you we preached a few messages on that very thing, on commitment. We started last Sunday night on genuine commitment. And we see commitments are tough. We know commitments in marriage is almost they're just superficial words. Vows and promises in marriage are just more than ceremony. You know, loving for better and worse, richer and poorer, forsaking all others, keeping the only unto them so long as you both shall live. You know, we miss out on things like that. We forget the vows, you know. Are we still okay? Of course, all these things take commitment. We make commitments to the Lord. We give Him our life, and then we commit things to the Lord. We commit things to prayer. We commit all these things, and we wonder just why things are like they are. But our commitment is, we look in the secular world, if you run a job, you hire somebody to do a job, and They know that you're going to work 40 or 60 hours a week. They know that they need to be there. They know that they have a job to do. But yet the commitment is only on the employer's end. When payday comes, their payday better be right. But, well, so what? I didn't work all week. I still want what you owe me. Yeah, but you were supposed to work all week. What if that was the way the employer done? Listen, we're going to work 60 hours, and you don't get paid for any days if you don't work all 60 hours. What if that was the way it would be? Huh? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? The reason why, because of commitment. See, used to be, it was never like that. Used to be that when you hired in, you done your job. You hired in and you was there till they made you leave. But that was when we used to be hungry too. When we used to be hungry, we worked when they said to work. And when we was praying for our power bill and our grocery bill and our gas bill. Now, since we don't have to pay for none of that, we can just go when we want to, don't we? But see, all these things take commitment. The church house and the things of God and all these things. This morning we want to talk about hindrances to commitment. Hindrances to commitment. See, there's a couple of things I believe that it's not the only thing, but I believe there's a couple of things that keeps us from being committed the way we should be. All right? Couple of things. Is everybody all right? You ready? Turn to the book of Jonah. Look in the book of Jonah this morning. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at all 17 verses. We're going to read them all. We're not going to use all of them. But we're going to look at all of them and read all of them. And we open your Bibles. And you ought to bring your Bible to church so you can make marks in your Bible, because it'll help you. All right? Jonah chapter 1. And that's where we're going to start. Everybody all right? Everybody there? Jonah chapter 1. Talk to me. Amen. All right. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. Now remember, rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Remember that. All right, we'll get back to it later. He said, "I went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down and put to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." All right? Now, let's stop her for a moment. Now, all of us has got a path. Everybody here this morning got a path that God wants us on. All right? For Jonah, his path was, "You go be my spokesman. I want you to go to Nineveh." That was the job that he wanted Jonah to do. Is everybody with me? All right? Everybody understand that? But can I tell you that God's got a path for you just the same? And you start on that path when you get saved. The very moment you get saved, then God has a plan for your life in His service to bring Him glory, for He saved you to bring Him glory. He saved you not because you deserved it, not because that you were lost, yeah, but He didn't have to worry about you, just to be honest. Out of God's grace and God's mercy has He saved any of us. And it was to bring Him glory, that the Lamb that was slain might receive glory for His suffering, not that we get any glory. All that's fringe benefits. All right? You're saved because God wanted you to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. All right? For everybody. Then He puts you on a path. When we get saved, we start that path. Now, if you're not saved this morning, He's got a plan for your life. He woos you, talks you, draws you, wants you to come, brings you to a place of repentance, because He knows in His finite mind that's got everything laid out. He knows everything from the beginning, what your life can do if you would come to Him and receive Him as Savior. Yeah. Do you understand that? Yeah. He ain't going to force you, but He's got a path. Right. And if you'll commit to Him, then you'll see just how big God is. Yeah. See, I believe some of the reason why you don't see how big God is because you never committed to Him. Yeah. You float. Huh? We still okay? There's a lot of truth just in them three verses. Let's look at them just for a moment. All of us got some Jonah in us. Everybody in here has got some Jonah in you. Everybody. All right? We all run from commitment. Everybody in here runs from commitment to some degree. Some little, just to a little degree, and some run from it all completely, altogether. But we all run from commitment. It's rare. In fact, I don't know personally anybody that's to give 100%, that's all sold out to the Lord. I know some would say that. But I don't know anybody that's sold out yet. I've not met him yet. All right? Now, I'm sure they are. I just said I ain't met him. Everybody understand that? I didn't say there weren't. Everybody look at me. I didn't say there weren't any. I just said I ain't met him yet. All right? Now, running from commitment. Now, this is the truth in them first three verses. Running from commitment ends up away from God. Did it not say he fled from the presence of the Lord? He's wanting to get away from us. Can I tell you this morning that if you don't commit, you'll find yourself uncommitted over here in the brush somewhere? Are you listening to me? We've got a very simple message this morning. Can I tell you this? That there, it's always a downward road. When you won't commit to the Lord, you always end up on a downward road. Always. Look at a home. Take a home and there's no commitment with husband and wife. That home ain't going to flourish. It's going to go down. No commitment on a job. A job's going to go down. No commitment. I mean, it's in everything. It always goes down. Can I tell you that you, yourself, when are we going to understand that a man does not live to himself? The Bible says a man don't live to himself, neither does he die to himself. And your life is not just your life, but that everything you do affects everybody around you, everybody that comes in contact with you, and everybody you may meet.
Yes. Yes.
It affects your children. It affects your children's actions later. It affects your grandchildren that you ain't had yet. Everything about our life is not about us. And when we are committed, it changes others around us. And when we're not committed, it changes others around us. And it always costs something. There's always a cost when we run from commitment. Always. If you read the scripture, it said that Jonah went down and he paid a fare. It cost him. But can I tell you, it cost us. Now, can I tell you, remind you, now this is a thinking message, is it not? You're already thinking. Huh? Can I tell you that you may not pay the cost today? See, payday ain't always the end of the week. It may be down the road somewhere. And can I go ahead and tell you, if there's a sin that God's dealing with you about you won't handle, be sure your sin will find you out. See, somewhere there's a cost. Are we still okay?
Yes.
Now let's go back to the scripture. See, but the Lord, verse 4, I think. But the Lord sent a great wind. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I mean, we know the story of Jonah, do we not? Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man into his God. All right. Now, the people on that boat were a wicked bunch, and they all had their own gods. It wasn't a real God. And he cast forth their wares that they were in the ship into the sea, the lightning of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. In other words, he done got to the point that not being committed didn't bother him. We okay? So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, old sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. See, be sure your sin will find you out. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us." What is that occupation? Huh? What's your job? They didn't ask him, "Do you know what the problem is?" What's your job? Did you know that the world looks to us believers and knows we got a job to do? You know that? We still okay? What is that occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people are thou? And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this? Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. That's sad, ain't it? Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought as was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. They wasn't going to do it. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Now, let's look at them few scriptures there just for a moment. Just like the storm kept coming, no matter what they done, the storm kept coming, and just like God keeps bringing up what we're to do. When it comes to our commandment, are you all right? Everybody catch that? Right. See, when we pray, when we got a commitment to the Lord, when things ain't right, when we get down to pray, it comes up when we pray. When we open our Bibles to read, if for some reason we'll open up a page, there it'll be. Right in our face. Everybody with me? Every time we hear a message, he shows us. Until we quit reading and praying, and even come to church. There's time this morning you quit reading your Bible because you didn't like what was telling you. Some of you quit praying. You don't pray like you used to pray because when you pray, you know that things ain't right. The commitments you've made to God, there's hindrances there. You know it ain't right and it's troubling you. There's no joy in your heart. There's no joy in your prayer life. There's no joy in your study time with God. There's no joy there no more because you know there's hindrances there. What? You know that. And he's showing you. And then you'll find yourself slipping out of church. Find yourself slipping away. Because you can't handle it. Can't handle the pressure. You think that there won't be no pressure if you don't come to church. But when you got Christ in your heart, there's pressure wherever you're at. And you're just miserable.
Yeah, there you go.
Because there's hindrances to your commitment. Are you still running with me this morning? See, somewhere you're going to have to deal with Jesus. Somewhere in your life, somewhere in my life, I've got to deal with the Lord. I've got to deal with the truth. What was my quote last Sunday? Anybody remember? Anybody remember my quote last Sunday? I asked you Wednesday and nobody remembered. How about this morning? Anybody remember what my quote was? I said, "I'm going to give you a quote." You remember? Huh? What you believe is not truth. Truth is not what you believe. Truth is what God said. See, we believe anything we want to believe, but that don't cut it. We can tell ourselves a lot of things, but it's what God says that matters. Are we still okay? Is everybody running with me? This is just a little slow, simple message this morning. Everybody with me?
Yes.
All right, let's look and see. The scripture again. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from raging. Huh? An old preacher said they chunked him over in the water. Can you picture that? I don't believe Jonah fought him.
No.
He knew what was going on. I believe just stood there and they chunked him right over in the water. Casting forth him, and the sea ceased from her raging. Huh? Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Why do we have a problem following the one who saved us? Why do you have a problem? Why do I have a problem following the one who saved us? Why? See, if we look at our life, now I'm going to say something, and this is not, I don't have nothing personal against nobody or nothing like that. I'm going to show you a point. I understand why we don't follow the Lord who saved us, because we don't sing. See, we have trouble following the people we see. How come people who's lost won't follow the pastor and get them saved? He's good enough to get them saved, but he ain't good enough to follow. Ain't good enough to sit and be taught. How come? Because there's something in them that they don't want to commit to. So I understand if we can't even commit to people we see and jobs and spouses. And I understand why we can't commit to local. We don't seem, because we're really not sure if he's real or not. Because we're not convinced ourselves he lives in us all the time. We're not convinced. Oh, we read in the scripture that he lives in me and Christ in me, hope of glory. But yet we live like hell. And I don't know that we really can believe that he lives in us and live like hell. I don't believe we can really, truly believe that he lives in our heart and use the language we do. Go to places we go. Do the things we do. So I understand when there's no commitment. Are we still okay? There are hindrances to commitment. Let's look at them. We're afraid. We're afraid. What did I tell you to remember? First three verses, I told you to remember something. What did I tell you to remember? Anybody remember what I told you to remember? I'll give you three verses. I said, now, remember that. We're going to go back to it. Anybody remember? What was it? He rose up to flee. When he didn't stay, he just went down to Tarsus. He stayed, he rose up to flee. He was getting out of there. He was afraid. He was running. When you flee, you're afraid. We okay? Everybody got that? Well, what are we afraid of? Now, let's go back just for a moment. Everybody still with me? God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. He was going to show mercy on Nineveh. He was going to give them an opportunity to repent because they were heathen. And God wanted to use Jonah to do it. Jonah was a prophet. He was a spokesman for God. He had already had a commitment to do whatever God wanted him to do. So God said, "You go to Nineveh." Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. So he didn't. Or so he thought. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know that I want to ride in a whale's belly. Huh? Now that's not a figure of speech. A whale swallowed him. Alright? For 3 days he was in the belly of a whale in stomach acid and all this slimy gook. Huh?
Yeah.
But this is a true story.
Right.
Now, this ain't the fella up there in Maine or wherever it was, that Boston, that they said got swallowed by a whale. I don't believe all that. Because this was a prepared fish. This was a special fish. Everybody all right?
Right.
Says here a great fish. Jesus said it was a whale. Guess what it was?
Whale.
We're afraid. What are you afraid of? Why can't you be committed? Why won't you commit to God? Why do we have hindrances to commitment? We're afraid. What are we afraid of? Well, to start with, normally we're afraid of failure. We don't have no problem doing things here in a church house. It's out there in the world we have a problem with. Jonah didn't know how he was going to go down to a whole city and preach to a whole city. There weren't a saved man in Nineveh. There wasn't a saved man in Nineveh. Not one. And Jonah was going to go down there and preach to an entire lost city. He's afraid. What if I fail? See, a lot of times we commit, we don't commit. We got hindrances to commit because we're afraid we're going to mess up because we try to rely on our own strength. Can I tell you, you can't do it anyway. Huh? But it's not just afraid of failure. We're afraid of criticism. If we get committed to God, if we commit to the Word of God, if we commit to the things of God, then others are going to speak bad about us. They're going to criticize us. Huh? Well, why don't you do this? Why didn't you do it that way? Why don't you go there? Why don't you stay here? Why don't you go over there? I don't understand why you got to do that. Why do you got to go over there? Well, you didn't do that very well. You don't have enough this. You don't have enough that. I mean, is that not the way it goes when you try to do something for God? And we don't want to hear that. We hear enough criticism at home with our spouse. Amen, preacher. Husband criticizes the wife. You don't do this. You don't do that. Wife says, you don't do this. You don't do that. And then the commitment slips away. There's hindrances in commitment. You go to the job. The boss, you never do enough for the boss. The boss never does enough for you. You go to the church. The church don't minister to every need you have. So we just slip away from the church. Is any of this making sense to anybody this morning? I mean, it's about hindrances. Hindrances, we're afraid of. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of criticism. We're afraid of exposure. See, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he's afraid if he went down there, they'd all know that he hated all of them. Because Jonah wanted all of them to go to hell. Jonah didn't want not nary a person in Nineveh to be saved. And sure, if I get up going down there, it's going to come out that I don't want none of them saved. Can I tell you that a lot of times we don't commit to the Lord because we're afraid we're going to get exposed for what we really are. What we really think. How we really feel. So we won't commit to nothing because that's going to be going up there and towing that line, boy, and so our commitment's hindered. That makes sense to anybody this morning? How about Psalm 56, verse 3? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Huh? If we're afraid, we already know that the spirit of fear does not come from the Lord, for He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Isn't that true? Talk to me this morning. Let's look on. We can do nothing by ourselves. We must have faith in the Lord. Huh? See, our commitment, the reason we're afraid when it comes to commitment because we don't have the faith to go ahead and trust God. Faith is willing to place your life in the Lord's hands not knowing the outcome. That's what faith is. Do you, can you, will you, are you placing your faith in the Lord's hands, not even concerned about the outcome. Do we have that much commitment to God? I mean, are you hearing me? We don't have what the old timers had. We don't have what the saints in the Bible had. We do as far as what God give us, but we don't use what they had. Because we don't live by faith. We don't live by faith. We've got too much. We live on our own power. We live on what we can fix. We live on the doctor we can find. We live on the hospital we can find. We live on the money we got in the bank. We live on the talent that God gives us. But it's not the commitment to God that I do what you want me to do, and I don't not care about what happens tomorrow. How many blessings have we already missed because we've been afraid to trust God? How many have we already missed? How many things has God boxed up and wrapped up with our name on us and would have freely given it to us, but we didn't have enough faith to believe Him for it? Because of the commitment. Let me ask you this, is He committed to us? Is He? You mean that His promises are true? You mean that He can't fail? You mean that every word in the book is true and every promise is mine and I can take it to the bank? Then how come when Christ lives in us we can't trust Him? We okay? We're afraid and we're selfish. That's why they're saying it's just a commitment. We're afraid and we're selfish. All right? God's plan don't fit our plan. I ain't going to commit to that because that... Well, I ain't got time to do it. Well, I can't commit to go there. Well, I ain't got time to go there. Well, I can't commit to give that. Well, I ain't got nothing to... I can't do that because I got to do this. Huh? Are we okay? Is everybody under? Is this simple enough for anybody to understand? Huh? We're selfish. We're selfish. What God wants interferes with what I want. Huh? It's not hard to go to church every Sunday. You ever say that? I get tired going to church every Sunday. Expect me to be there every Sunday. I get so tired. I get so tired of even kids. They want me to teach them. They don't listen. I'm glad the kids don't listen downstairs. Now you know how to pastor them. Amen. You know why the kids don't listen downstairs? Because their parents don't listen. You know why the kids act like they do? Because that's the way you act.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Jonah chapter 4 verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You know how come Jonah was displeased and angry? Because in chapter 3 of Jonah, Jonah preaches and every person in the city gets saved. Several hundred thousand people got saved and he said, I hate this. Now, does any of that make sense to anybody? Because we would never say that. We would never say that it displeased me that they got saved, but when they get saved, we're so critical about their life. But we won't give them a chance. We okay? No, we ain't okay. Huh? Jonah chapter 4 verse 3 says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. That sounds selfish to y'all? How about verse 8? It came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared him a helm of east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, it's better for me to die than to live. Now if you go ahead and read the whole chapter of Jonah, Nineveh repents. They all was sackcloth and ashes and repented. Wonderful time. Jonah gets mad. Goes over here. And if you read, now I'm not adding nothing to the scripture, but from all appearances, Jonah went up on the side of the hill to see, figuring on waiting 40 days to see if God was going to kill anybody in Nineveh. Yeah. Read your scripture. Why else would he go up on the side of the hill and sit down? He went over to see if he's going to be anybody die, because he was hoping somebody said, surely somebody didn't get it. I want to see him burn. Well, that's his attitude. Read your scripture. Now, why Jonah's in there is a prophet beyond me. Now, he's a humdinger now, let me tell you. He ain't mentioned no more other than this either. All right. So he goes up there and sits down, and the Lord is so gracious. Has a gourd come up over his head and shaved him. Yep. Oh, that's nice. Gourd dies. Better for me if I die. Huh? Here comes a wind. Better for me if I die. Better for me. Let me just ask you, you ever have that attitude when you come to church? Better for you? Better for you. How about your commitment to God, the things of God? Well, it'd be better for me if... Hey, can you do this? Well, it would be better if I don't do it then, but I do it then. You ever say that? Talk to me. Yeah. Hey, can you do this? Well, it'd be better if I could do it then. Right. Mm. Well, how about enough? Well, no, it would be better for me over here. I'm just talking about hindrances to commitment. It's what's better for me. That's usually why we live our life by ourselves. And that's usually why we don't see the power of God in our life. And that's usually why we don't get our prayers answered. And that's usually why our life is a mess. Because we're just doing what's better for me. Jonah was more concerned about the gourd than the people of Nineveh. Huh? See, what that is hindrances come when we get more concerned about fleshly things instead of spiritual things. I'm preaching entirely different this morning. Just slow, and so everybody can grasp on this. Where's your commitment at? Where's your thoughts at? Where's your priorities at? Does it make sense, seriously, does it make sense that a prophet who's going to talk about the things of God be more worried about the gourd than 500,000 people that didn't know their left hand from their right coming to Christ? Makes no sense, does it? That makes absolutely no sense. But see, that was what was better for him. Or so he thought. Well, let me ask you, was that better for him? No, it wasn't better for him. But that means that he wanted what he wanted, the way he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted. He was selfish. Okay? Can I tell you again this morning, I'm going to remind you of this as long as I can. If you're saved this morning, you don't have a life. If you're saved this morning, your life is the Lord's. If you're saved this morning, the Bible says that you are not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. I believe that scripture is still there. You're not your own. When are we going to quit trying to be worldly? When are we going to try to let the world run us? When are we going to try to do what the world does? When are we going to quit all that? Why don't we go ahead and do what God wants us to do? When are we going to let the Lord be boss? Huh? When can God have us completely? Huh? When are you going to let, when am I going to let God have us completely? Completely. See, the majority of us only want to stay so we don't go to hell. We don't want to go to heaven yet, but we don't want to go to hell when we die. We don't want to go to heaven now because it would be better for me if I stayed. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save you, give you eternal life, and take you with me today. I mean, ain't that the story they tell about the little boy in school? And they said, who all wants to go to heaven? The little boy wouldn't raise his hand. They said, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, I thought you were meaning today. That's what we've grown up into. We'll sing about it as long as we want to wait till we're old to go. That's why we don't like it if anybody young goes. We want people to die when it's better for us. We want people to live when it's better for us. We want people to be healthy when it's better for us. We want people to be sick when it's better for us. I just think these are hindrances to commitment. What do you think? When are we going to completely give ourselves to God and say, I will go where you want me to go? Tomorrow. No. Now. Brother Boyd came to me and said, I feel like God wants me to go to Kenya. I said, well, go. You know what I told you? I said, well, go. I didn't say, well, let's pray about it. I said, well, go. God wants you to go to Kenya, go. I said, but you ain't got no business going to deputation. You're 62 years old. You ain't got no business going to deputation. Go to Kenya. It ought to be the church's job to see that you go. Go. Get out of here. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. You said you want to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I always laugh. I always think of who was it? Lutrick's boy.
Yeah.
Gary Lutrick, a preacher. His son went to Germany. They went on a mission trip with preacher Danny Farley down at Shady Acres Baptist Church, and he's out there, and that boy come to preacher Dan and says, I say God wants me to be a missionary to Germany. He said, okay, stay here, believe him. And they left him. And the mommy about had a fit, and he said, no, we'll stay here. We'll send you money. We'll take care of you. And he said, he just looked, he couldn't speak German. He couldn't do nothing. He couldn't do anything. He said, well, God wants you here. He'll take care of you. And they got on the plane and left him in Germany.
Amen.
He was a great big fella. Didn't have no car. Didn't have nothing. He got him, found him a bicycle. Right next to what I seen him last, he was skinny as a beanpole. He done run it all off riding that bicycle. Huh? The people there wouldn't speak English to him. They only spoke German to him. Made him learn German. He had his German class trying to survive in Germany.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying to do that. But when will we be committed to God to where we would do it? That I will do what you want me to do. I will stay as long as you want me to stay. I missed one there somewhere. Back me up one. I think it was one after that. No. No. Anyway, may I ask you this morning, is there any hindrances to your commitment? Cheryl, go to piano. Let's quit right there. Is there any hindrances to your commitment to God? Say, the Lord done showed you. Lord done showed you where your hindrances are. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do about your commitment to God? The hindrances is there. Because somewhere we're failing. Huh? Father, I tried to give as simple as I could this morning. I tried to give as you've given me. Lord, I know I fail miserably. But Lord, if there's something here that we can latch on to in the Scripture, Lord, we can see that we don't need to be afraid. And we can trust you. Lord, oh God, help us not to be selfish. That it's not my time. That my time is your time. And I thank you and praise you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.